Coming up next on WNJC, an hour of gold with Carol Gold. Call in live at 856-227-1360 and share your thoughts on all the challenges you are facing in a rapidly changing world.
Are all the changes in the world wearing you out? Because who doesn't know we're going through extraordinary change, and with it comes resistance and fear. How do you deal with it? How do you make the change work for you instead of against you? You need this answer because the experts clearly don't have it. How do you access your own inner guidance and wisdom to deal with local, national, global changes? Join me, Carol Gold, for the next hour. Get these answers and more.
Listening to WNJC 1360 AM, and this is an hour of gold. Welcome, everybody, to an hour of gold. This is pretty exciting for me. It's the first time you and I are going to have an opportunity to exchange some really important thoughts and ideas all around everything that's going on in the world today. Because what are we surrounded with? We're surrounded with a lot of change. So feel free to call in today at 856-227-1360. Of course, you can listen live as you are right now on 1360 AM WNJC or anywhere around the globe by just jumping onto the web at carol.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and you'll be able to listen to live stream of today's show. Well, I'm here to talk about change. I'm here to talk about change today and every single day from here on out on every Tuesday morning that we get together. And the reason is that you and I both know that change is all around us and creating a lot of stress and a lot of fear. And every day on the news, we hear all the bad stuff, and an hour of gold is where you're going to come to hear the good stuff. Because what we're going to do here, and I say we because this is very much your show as well as mine. I'm a firm believer in that we all have inner wisdom and we all have inner guidance, but we also all only have a piece of the puzzle. And together we can solve anything that's in front of us as long as we all come from an inner place of focus and guidance within ourselves, and as long as we understand that while what we have to say is important, so is what everyone else has to say equally important. And that somewhere in all of that are all of the answers we need. I think that if you look around, it's pretty obvious that the experts don't necessarily know what they're doing, because no matter how many politicians or economists or world leaders try to solve and move us beyond where we are today, somehow things aren't quite getting there. And I think that reason is because each one of us is meant to make our own contribution, and I'm doing that right now by creating a safe place for us to meet every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. right here on WNJC 1360 and exchange thoughts and ideas. So whether you're going to call in with a question or you're going to call in with an answer, whether it's your question or your answer, they're both equally important here at an hour of gold, because we're all about getting at solutions. So let's just for a moment raise some of the issues that are of importance to all of us. I think change is important. I think stress is important. Fear, there's a tremendous amount of fear out there. You know, it's out there, but it's also being nurtured. It's nurtured in the headlines we see every day. It's nurtured in the leads on the news stories that we hear every day. And the reason that it's featured is because, you know, there's an old expression in news, and it's that if it's burning, if it's on fire, it leads. Okay, why does that happen? Because we've been told for a very long time that we really want the sensationalism, that we really want the bad news. We're interested in the excitement. We're interested in hearing somebody else's tragedy because somehow that makes us feel better. And that absolutely is an untruth, but it's an untruth that's been sold for hundreds, if not thousands of years, certainly hundreds of years in terms of marketing, or at least 100 years of marketing in this country goes all the way back to a guy named Edward Bernays, who was actually Sigmund Freud's nephew, I believe. And Bernays was very clever, and he took some of Freud's conclusions and his observations, and he turned it into a marketing technique that to this day Madison Avenue runs on. The world runs on this idea that if you can, you know, you can sell people on what they want, as opposed to being inner-directed and coming from that place within yourself and deciding what you want from an internal core, we get stimulated from the outside. And what we get stimulated with, unfortunately, is sensationalism and bad news. So I was looking at the web the other night, and I was looking at some of the headlines, and they were, workers struggle to remove radioactive water from Japanese nuclear complex. Secretary Gates, can't predict the length of the mission in Libya. 11-year-old girl gang raped in California park bathroom. This is the kind of stuff they grab our attention with, and this is the kind of stuff we respond to, except I am a firm believer that you're tired of it. I know I'm tired of it, and I'm pretty sure you are too. And the reason is that because all it does is keep us in a loop. It keeps us in a loop of not making progress, not getting beyond where we were. You know, history repeats itself because we keep making the same choices. When we stop making the same choices, history will stop repeating itself. So, where does it start? It starts not with the president, not with world leaders, not with the heads of corporations, not even with spiritual leaders. It starts with each one of us. It matters every day what you think, what you say, and what you feel, literally. And that's why here at An Hour of Gold, we're open to talking about what matters to you and how we move you and those closest to you and those closest to me, how we move our own personal environments forward in a positive way instead of running that loop. So whether it's a question about a personal matter in your life, whether it's local news, national news, or global news, or I'll go so far as to say cosmic news, whether I don't care how far out you want to go, whatever it is that you're struggling with, here at An Hour of Gold, I and my other listeners and callers are going to flush out what's the highest way to look at that. What can you take from that that's going to change the quality of your life and the quality of life for everyone around you? So my two favorites are change and fear. And I say that because the only constant in life is change. It's the only thing you can count on. Don't believe that the only two constants are that you die and pay taxes. Don't believe that. Because number one, I don't know what happens when you die, and neither do you. So I'm not even sure that that's an ending or anything final. It's subject to interpretation. And paying taxes, well, we know everybody doesn't pay taxes. So death and taxes are not the only two constants. Change is the only constant in life. Every cell of your body and my body is changing every second as we sit here, as we speak. Every aspect of nature is constantly in a state of change. It's the one thing you're going to do the most often in your life, and it's the one thing we don't teach. There isn't a classroom or a school that you can go to that's going to teach you how to manage, how to get through, how to understand, how to navigate change. So I love talking about change because I think change is very exciting. The problem is that we as humans tend to want to hold on to everything just the way it is. And so we see change as an adversary instead of an ally. Change is the greatest thing that can happen to you in life because you're a living being. You're a verb in transition. You're constantly in motion. Every cell in your body, every molecule of the universe, in fact, is constantly in motion. You know, it's a little story about a rock. And the rock is sitting there minding its own business. But inside the rock, countless atoms are moving at a rapid pace, back and forth, as goes on inside of you and me as well. So finally, after a while, the rock has some perception of what's happening, and it says, "What's moving inside of me?" And a voice outside the rock says, "It's you." And the rock says, "That's impossible. I'm not moving at all. I'm just sitting here doing nothing." And the voice says, "Yes, but from a distance, it's true. You seem to be sitting still. But if you look very, very close, I can see that everything that comprises you is in motion. And it's moving at an incredible speed, so fast you can't even perceive it. And so you think you're sitting still." So what's real, the rock wants to know? Am I sitting still or am I in motion? And the answer is, they're both true. It's the same for you and me. We appear to be sitting still a lot of the time, but we're constantly in motion because we're constantly in a state of change. And that's what life is. It's being able to step up and accept that nothing's permanent, that everything's in a state of change. And what happens when you don't accept that? You get fearful, because you get fearful that whatever you have is being taken away or can be taken away. When in reality, you can't lose anything. You can't lose anything. Things transition form, but they never transition substance. So the caterpillar becomes the butterfly. Nothing's really lost. Form changes. The energy stays the same. It just changes external form. When we can accept that in our lives, that's the kind of change, hope and change, that's the kind of change that everyone was looking for in the last election. We knew things weren't working. We had a sense that there was another way to do things. We had hope that we could find that other way to do things. Now, the Edward Bernays clever Madison Avenue marketing approach was to promise us hope and change, because there was an instinct that that's what was wanted and that's what was needed. So we were sold hope and change. Problem was, we never asked for definition. We bought the words on face value. And so now, as late as last night, we have a president who promised change, proceeding exactly as former presidents proceeded in Bosnia and in Iraq. Now we're proceeding exactly the same. The loop is taking place. It's circling around again. And we're walking into Libya, a third war, of course, by a different name, because we don't dare call it war, because then it would have been an act of Congress that was never given. So it has another fancy name, a kinetic military action, I believe it is, which is an interesting turn of the phrase, because kinetic is, there's two kinds of energy, potential and kinetic. And kinetic is energy in motion, and potential is energy at rest. So we have a kinetic, we have an in-motion military action. I think when you call in all the planes, and you call in all the tanks, and you call in the boys to go fight the war, and some of the girls, it's war. Whether you want to call it kinetic or you want to call it war, that's a military action that is escalated to the point of war. And so we don't have so much change. We also have a lot of deception in our financial markets. We never know what's true. We never really know what's going on until after the fact. So not so much change there either. So now we have not so much political change. We have not so much economic change. And that's not what we signed on for. But here's the problem. We made two mistakes. One, we bought the words on face value. And two, we expected somebody else to do it for us. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. And I'll tell you how it does work in a minute. But right now, because I haven't had breakfast, I'm thinking about food. So let me share with you my favorite Italian restaurant. It's Stefano's in Mount Laurel. Paolo has been there 26 years. It is a wonderful, homey Italian restaurant with authentic recipes from Italy, from Paola's mother. She does phenomenal catering, and hard to believe, it's gluten-free. I mean, you have to eat there to believe it, but let me say this. She's been there 26 years, and people have been coming for 26 years. So if the same people have figured out that that's the place to eat when you want really good Italian food, if you haven't tried Stefano's in Mount Laurel, you want to make sure you do. And when you go in, mention An Hour of Gold, and Paola will be happy to give you 10% off of your wonderful, homemade, authentic Italian dinner. Okay, so we were talking about hope and change, and we were talking about why you can't wait for somebody else to do it for you. It really isn't top down. It really is bottom up. But bottom up in the sense that we are all responsible for our own actions. Now, I'm going to take it a degree further, and I'm going to tell you that we're all responsible for our own thoughts, words, and action. And if you have a thought about this, remember, call me at 856-227-1360. And I think we have a caller right now that wants to share. No, I'm sorry. I thought we did. Just give us a call at 856-227-1360 and either throw a question out this way or feel free to contribute with what you think might be a solution or a new approach to looking at the world in a different way, which is what we do here at An Hour of Gold. Why do I say we're all responsible for our own thoughts, words, and actions, not just our actions? Well, for me, a lot of times I like to play with language, and I also like to look at the origin of language and where we get some of our concepts from. And in Hebrew, which goes back to the Old Testament, in Hebrew, the word for word is the same as the word for things. So in Hebrew, in the Bible, words and things are the same thing. They're actual things. And that's because when you speak something, you manifest it. You make it real. So you have to be really careful about what you say and how you say it, because the moment you verbalize it, you make something real. Well, if you believe that and you think about that, that makes not only our actions really important, it makes our words that precede our actions or sometimes accompany our actions equally as important. And if you step back once more and you get to our thoughts, which precede our words, what you think really matters, because thoughts are things too. I am certain that what we do in life starts with what we think and how we think about life, because our thoughts drive our feelings and our thoughts and feelings drive our actions. And so being responsible, being personally responsible, which is where I think change comes from, being personally responsible starts with what you think, moves into what you say, and then manifests by how you act. So if we have corrupt politicians, as we like to complain about, why do they think they can get away with being less than honest? I think they are just a macrocosm. They're just the big picture of the way we tend to live our lives. So does that mean we're all liars and deceivers and full of deception? No. Does it mean we fudge the truth frequently? Yeah, probably. I mean, I think people say things all the time and don't really think about whether they mean them or are willing to stand by them 100%. You know, I had an experience this week. It's sort of a small mini version of what we're talking about here and how things can get escalated and become much more important in the big scheme of things. I needed an appliance repaired. And I went to a local repair shop, took the appliance, and was told that the repair would be approved up to $65 if I gave advance approval, meaning they wouldn't have to call me if they could fix it for up to $65. And I said, that's fine with me, but like, what happens if it's a $100 repair? And they said, oh, no, no, over $60, you'll get a call. The repair people won't proceed at all. And I said, fine, that seemed perfectly reasonable to me. Seemed like an agreement that the vendor and I reached. They told me the terms, I agreed, and I left. I got a call yesterday that the appliance was repaired, so I went to pick it up, and when I received the bill over the counter, it was for $79 and change. So it's not a lot of money. It's not a big difference. That wasn't the point. I looked at it and I said, wait a minute, I don't understand something. Because in my brain, I had pulled out my credit card and I was ready to pay $65. So I said, could you explain to me, please, why it's $79, I approved $65. Well, it's only $14 over. I said, wait a minute. No, it's not the $14. I want to understand how the repair went forward when the agreement was that you called over $65. And the response was, fine, I'll take the parts out of your appliance because you obviously don't want to pay for them. I said, wait a minute. I'm a lawyer by training. And by the way, I am. So please don't hold this against me now and don't turn the show off because of what you just learned, okay? There are ethical attorneys. And by the way, I don't practice anymore, so that should give you hope. I said, wait a minute, I'm an attorney and we had an agreement. And you gave me your terms of business. I agreed to those terms. I'm not questioning the $14. I'm questioning why the call didn't come because that was the agreed term. Well, you know what? She was probably busy when you brought in your appliance. She was probably, I said, no one else was in the store but the two of us and the phone never rang while I was here. So she wasn't busy. So she didn't get distracted, and she knew exactly what she was saying. Well, you know, you've got a good appliance. I don't know what you're unhappy about. I said, it's not about me. That's the point. It's not about me. It's about my asking for an explanation as to. So you get the gist of this story. I left. I have my appliance. It works. It's fine. I'll never go back there. I'll go somewhere else because to me, your word is your bond. It really is true. It's not just a saying. I grew up that way. I was raised that way. I had a father in business who ran his business that way. And I really believe that that's not just business. It's life. If you are in a relationship with someone, and you can tell me how you feel about this, because there are religions and there are people, spiritually based people and religiously based people and philosophically based people who will say that little white lies aren't so bad. There are people who believe that sometimes you tell an untruth to spare feelings. I, unfortunately or fortunately, am not one of those people. I believe the truth sets you free always and forever. And so I believe it's not just business, because in personal relationships, if you don't have trust, and by the way, I'm an ex-divorce lawyer, so I'm an expert on breach of trust. Forget breach of contract. Divorce is all about breach of trust, okay? That's what happens. You enter into an agreement with somebody, you say, I'll do this and you'll do that, and then slowly you start to erode that absolute trust that two people come to a relationship with, and at some point you cross a line, and let me tell you, the hardest thing to do in relationship is reestablish trust. You can get over a lot, but that one's the big hurdle, and many people never ever hurdle it, even when they might love each other and want to stay together. Trust gets breached and they can never get it back. So whether it's personal relationships or whether it's your business, or whether it's you and your kid, it doesn't really matter. Your word has to be your word. I mean, what parent out there does not know that if you tell your child they're going to have a consequence for doing X and the consequence never comes, next time X is a lot easier to do because they know you're not reliable. Your word doesn't mean anything. So there almost isn't an example that I can come up with where having integrity isn't the cornerstone of the success or failure of what we're talking about. How do you feel about integrity and honesty? How important is it to you in your relationships, in your life, and in your politics? Because guess what? That's why we have the people that we have in office. And I really am interested in your thoughts and feelings and your experiences around trust and how you think it needs to be reestablished going forward. You can share all that at 856-227-1360 while we're here at WNJC 1360 AM. And remember, you can listen live to the show on the web at carolwithanegold.com. I'm going to take a little break here and come back, and we're going to continue to talk about fear and stress and how all that is an offshoot and a natural condition when you go through change. Be right back. Carol Gold back here at an Hour of Gold on WNJC 1360 AM and live on the web at carolwithanegold.com. Okay, so we were talking about change and we were talking about personal responsibility, and I want to talk a little bit about the stress and the fear that comes up when we do have to confront change. So what is fear, and what's it meant for? I mean, obviously it exists, it's got a purpose, and I really believe it has a purpose. And the purpose that fear has is defined in nature. By that I mean, let's take a look at what animals do when they're frightened. When an animal is frightened, it goes into shock. If a big bad wolf comes along and tries to catch a little rabbit, the rabbit goes into shock. It plays dead, as it were. for a certain period of time. And while it's doing that, its body is emitting all kinds of toxins that are deadly. And those are the kinds of fight or flight toxins that we know about, cortisol and some others, that we too as humans emit when we're frightened. So when the towers came down and we all watched the breaking news, our bodies were reacting with fear. They were reacting with toxins that are meant to rescue and help us save ourselves in emergency situations. We emit endorphins, and they help us run faster, think quicker, get out of the way of the charging tiger or the planes crashing into the towers. That's what fear is meant to do. It's meant to get you out of a life-threatening situation. And in the animal kingdom, when that threat is no longer there, those toxins stop immediately. If they don't, the animal doesn't come out of shock and it dies. Not so with us humans. And why? Well, number one, we have an ability the animals don't have, and that's to hold on to the thought that's terrifying us. With an animal, when the threat is removed from their physical reality, the rabbit doesn't sit there and think, gee, I wonder if that wolf's going to come back. Doesn't have the capacity. We do. That's number one. Number two, let's go back to Edward Bernays and the whole marketing thing and technology. How many times did you watch those towers come down? How many times? I know I must have watched them come down 15 times before I realized I had to stop watching them come down. Now, I stopped watching them come down because I realized how they were upsetting me in my mind and in my emotions. But what I wasn't really present with was how much my body, the chemicals in my body, were literally responding to every time I saw the towers come down. Because every time they came down, I got scared. And every time I got scared, the toxins got emitted. And that's how we get disease. And that's how we hurt ourselves and become ill. Because we don't know how to move beyond the present. We don't know how to stay with the present and let go of the past. To let go of what's no longer immediately a threat in front of us. So when we worry about our retirement monies, or we worry about a situation in our past coming back again, we're worrying about something as we know may or may not happen. But the point is, in that worrying, in that concern, in that fear, we are chemically altering our body from our brain chemicals down to every cell. We are sending out toxins. So fear has a function and a purpose, but it's very limited. It's very limited. It's really kind of pointless for humans to be afraid unless you're in a life-threatening situation. And when you're in a life-threatening situation, it's totally appropriate. We have to learn to let go of fear and stop fearing either imaginary things or things that have not yet happened or that are no longer happening, which is a very good reason why DVR can be a great thing, but it can also be a very bad thing because it lets you see news over and over and over again. Okay, so when the tsunami hits Japan, it only hits once. Those people in Japan are not dealing with that wave crashing every 20 minutes, the way it crashes for us every 20 minutes on the news. They deal with the wave. Now they deal with survival. Now they deal with the after effects. They're living in the moment, every moment, but we elsewhere in the world are watching the tsunami happen again and again and again. And that's a very dangerous thing for us to do because it keeps us from dealing with what's in front of us in our own lives. And that's what you're meant to deal with. You're meant to deal with what's in front of you every day in your own life. And that's change. Now we're back to where we started because nothing stays the same. Everything's constantly changing. So where does stress come from? Well, stress does not come from change, despite what you think. Stress comes from resistance to change. You see, change is the natural state of things. It's only when we refuse to accept it, it's only when we refuse to deal with it one-on-one as it appears in front of us that we stress ourselves out. So we try to hold on to what we have, whether it's a person in our life or a situation or a house or a job. You know, I like to say job loss isn't a loss. It's new career direction. Job loss is an opportunity. Job loss doesn't exist. You don't lose a job. The universe is giving you an opportunity to move in a different direction. It's giving you an opportunity to do new work. It's creating space so you can move in a better direction for yourself. It's only a loss if you don't move beyond that moment, if you try to hold on to that which is no longer there. And that can be a job or a house or a person, or it can be a whole bunch of things. If you accept and live in the moment and you're open to change and believe that it's in your best interest, well then, you're constantly in motion, just like nature, just like your life, just like the universe. So, change and fear and stress are all interrelated, and there's nothing wrong with any of them except our perception of them. So perception is really everything. Perception is everything, which is why our president could go on television last night and call it a kinetic military action, because perception is everything. And if you can be convinced to perceive something as other than what it is, then you'll believe what it is you're seeing, even if what you're seeing is only an illusion. So what's the difference between believing and knowing? Because there is a difference, and it's very important. And here's the difference. If I tell you that I'm sitting in the studio at WNJC 1360, and there are seven people here with me in the room while I'm broadcasting, you can believe me or you cannot believe me, but you can't know. You can only know if you're here and have your own experience and say there aren't seven people there. There's two people there. Why'd she say there were seven? You see, until you have your own experience, you can't know for certain. One of my favorite books is a children's book called Higgledy Piggledy Pop, or There Must Be More to Life. It's by Maurice Sendak. And it's a great book because, of course, it's written for children, and of course, it's written for the child and all of us, and really, it's written for adults. And it's about a dog. I actually think it's a Sealyham Terrier. And the reason I say that is because I had a friend who had a Sealyham, and so I know what they look like. I'm pretty sure that's what Jenny, who is the protagonist, the dog, is. She's a cute little white Sealyham Terrier, and she's spoiled rotten, and she has every physical thing in the world a dog could want. She has beds and toys and food and a yard to play in, and she's bored out of her mind. And she wants something more out of life because she believes there must be something more out of life. And so she decides to go out and see what that could be. And when she goes out, she comes upon a very interesting sight, and it's the Mother Goose Theater of Life. And they're looking for someone to star in the next production of the Mother Goose Theater of Life. And she walks up, and she wants to try out. And they ask her if she has any experience. And she doesn't. So they tell her she needs to go out and get experience and then come back and she can try out. And the book is about the dog's encounter with terror and tragedy and misfortune and all the things that happened to her. And when she comes back to try out for the lead, it turns out she is the lead, because it was through all of her actual experiences that she became the lead in the Mother Goose Theater of Life. Because that's what experience does for you. It makes you an expert at what you've experienced, which is why so many of the experts can't solve the problems we're having now. Because they only know them in theory. They've studied them in books. They've gone to Harvard. They've gone to whatever school they've gone to. They have all the theory. But, you know, we've got an awful lot of people in positions that have had no experience in the actual position they're holding. Or they have experience, like Tim Geithner. He just doesn't pay his taxes, or didn't. So now he's in charge of the financial. I mean, it's very bizarre when you think about it. Now, if you have integrity and you've always paid your taxes on time and honestly, you are as qualified as Tim Geithner. You're more qualified than Tim Geithner because you've had actual experience. If you've run a business and you've successfully run a business, you have experience in how to run a business. You know what works, you know what doesn't work. If you're appointed to a government position that's in charge of our commerce across the nation, and you've never run a business, okay? If you're, and you'll have to forgive me because I'm about to say something, and I don't want to alienate all the Democrats that are listening this morning, because don't try to peg me. I'm not a Democrat, a Republican, an independent, a libertarian, a feminist, a conservative. Don't go there. You'll never be able to succeed at it, because I'm not a monolith. I'm not one thing. I'm many things, as we all are. So what I'm about to say is not a comment against Democrats. It's a comment. It's an observation. It isn't even a judgment, by the way, because a judgment connotes something that's opinion, not based in fact. I'm only about to make a factual statement. As a lawyer in training, that's what I'm trained to do, okay? If you have a president who's never run a business, who's never run anything except been a community organizer, and spent a few months in the United States Senate, or a year, whatever it was, and you hand this person the helm of a commercial and political ship and expect it to be run with some kind of experience or expertise or wisdom, I don't think you're looking for hope and change. I think you're looking for delusion, because it's not there. You don't have a basis for believing that this person has the skill or the talent or the or even the intuition to manage this position with expertise. Why? Because we're back to the word experience. You need experience to know. Otherwise, you're operating on faith. And faith is not a bad thing to have, but I would, in my world, faith is a very preliminary state of being. You have faith, you have believing, and you have knowing. And knowing connotes certainty. You know, I like to say that terrorism around the world, especially Islamic terrorists, are successful because they have certainty. They are certain about what they believe in. They are certainly insane, but they're certain in their insanity. They believe what they believe without question. They may have been indoctrinated into believing what they believe without question, but it's irrelevant. They believe it with certainty. They believe they're going to do this and go to heaven, and how many virgins are waiting, or whatever it is. They believe they're doing this decapitation in the name of God. They believe what they're doing with certainty. We in the West lack certainty. We have so many choices. We're so blessed. We have so many things and options that we're forever thinking, well, now I'll do this, no, I'll do that. I'll believe in this, no, I'll believe in that. The next person they talk to who has a convincing argument is their latest belief. That's what we do in the West. We're not certain. And this is a big problem, because certainty is what manifests reality. What you believe with certainty, when your intention is focused. You know, when I went to law school, I was 33 years old. I'd been out of school for a while. And I was scared. I was really scared. I couldn't do it. And that first year of law school, I didn't go to a restaurant. I didn't see a movie. I didn't have a social occasion. I went to night school. I went to school at night, and I studied all day. I had the finances not to have to work at the time. I studied all day, and I went to class all night, and I studied all day, and I went to class all night, and that's all I did for a year. And whenever I thought of school, I saw myself in a cap and gown walking down an aisle with my parents sitting there so proud because I graduated law school at 37. That was my vision, and I never wavered from that vision for 1 year to get through that first year of school. When I look back, I could no more go to law school today than I could fly to the moon. I don't know how I did it, but I did it because I had certainty. I was absolutely certain I could do it. And my focus was that anything that didn't support my vision was eliminated from my reality. I didn't have time for a movie. I didn't have time for a dinner. I wanted to do well in school because I wanted to graduate. I wanted to know I could get through 1L, as they call it, that first year where 40% of the students get weeded out. I wanted to make that cut, and that's where my focus was. I believe that that's how we make things happen. We don't make them happen by buying a bumper sticker that says hope and change and letting somebody else do the job for us, and we let go of all of the outcome. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. If you're in the supermarket and you get too much change and you don't give it back, you're part of the problem. I'm part of the problem if I keep the extra $5 the cashier gave me because she gave me a five instead of a single. I can't complain if I have crooked, corrupt politicians leading me. Because if I'm not willing to step up on a day-to-day basis, if all of us aren't willing to step up on a day-to-day basis and do the right thing in the moment, you can't change the world. You know, I have a free ebook on my website, carolgold.com, carol with an e, gold.com. My free ebook are some thoughts that I've accumulated over time, put into a little book that you can download for free. And one of the thoughts in my book says, no one sets out to change the world, but when you change yourself, that's exactly what happens. And that's what I'm saying about the $5 in the market, or whether you tell a little white lie to your neighbor or your friend or your spouse or your kid. It all matters because everything we do affects everything else. You know, when a butterfly flaps its wings in New Jersey, wind patterns change in Japan. That's a fact. It may take a while. It may take some time for the air currents to get to Japan. But you changed those wind currents in Japan when you flapped your wings in New Jersey. We're all connected. There's only one of us. There's only one of us. Now, I don't mean that in a socialistic sense. I'm not a socialist. I told you. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm not an independent. I'm not a libertarian, a liberal, a feminist, a conservative. I'm all of them and none of them because I'm you. I'm you. And you're not that narrow. You're not that narrow. You have different opinions about different things. And when you call yourself by one name, every act you have and every word you speak is an act and a word of self-definition. You define yourself by your choices. We all define ourselves by our choices. So be very careful about saying who you are because you're defining yourself by the words you use about yourself. And we try to pigeonhole people because it makes us more comfortable if we can put a label on it and then it has parameters around it and we think we can manage it. We're not all that simple. We're much more complex than that. And most importantly, we're all connected. Everything I think matters because you can hear me think. On some level, you know, just logic. If you go back, if you're a creationist, if you believe that in the beginning there was Adam, then there was only one. There was only one person, okay? It was only one being. There was only one soul. There was only one entity. Whether you believe it's energy or spirit or whatever you believe, a physical person, Adam, there was only one. If out of that one came two, and out of that two came four, and out of those four came everybody else. And I won't even get into how Eve had kids with Cain and Abel because that's a whole other conversation. If from those four came everybody else, aren't we all connected? It isn't just one God. There's only one of us. It just kept multiplying and multiplying. When an amoeba splits, it splits and it splits and it splits again. It all came from the same source. It all is fragments of one original entity. So too, you and me. There's only one of us. So when I think something, on some level, you know what I'm thinking, which is why we all have to think peace and not war. It's why the old systems aren't working anymore. It's why it's all breaking down. So, what do you think out there? You've had a little bit to chew on. How about giving us a call at 856-227-1360? Call in and let me hear your thoughts on what we're talking about. Hope and change, how you see it. The war in Libya, how you see it. Our connectedness to one another and how you see it. I'm going to take a break here and come back and continue this conversation with you.
Thank you. Spirit move me. Every time I'm near you, whirling like a cyclone in my mind. Sweet Melissa, angel of my lifetime, answer to all answers I can find. Baby, I love you. Come into my arms. Let me know the wonder of all of you. Baby, I want you now. Now, and hold on fast. Could this be the magic at last?
Hi, Carol Gold back here at an hour of gold, WNJC 1360 AM. Listen live also on the web at carolwithanegold.com and give me a call at 856-227-1360. You know, we've got a lot to deal with around the world, and we've got a lot to deal with in our personal lives. And here at an hour of gold, our goal is to figure out new and better ways to do that for ourselves, because each one of us now needs to become an expert in our own lives so that we can begin to solve problems from the bottom up. We can each be individuals. We can each be responsible for what's going on in our own lives so that ultimately we will change the tide and bring to the surface leaders that are more consistent with who we are and where we want to go. You know, there's a saying, if you want to get to San Diego and you keep driving to Dallas, I mean, you have to know where you want to go, and then you have to be on the road to getting there. And it isn't judgment and it isn't opinion if someone stops and says, excuse me, you're headed for Dallas. Do you know you're trying to get to San Diego? That's not someone who's judging you. That's just someone who's stepping up and reminding you that you're not headed where you want to go. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, where do we want to go? And then we need to head in that direction and take responsibility for making sure that everything we say, do, and think is moving us in the direction of where we say we want to go. Albert Einstein said the problem can't be solved at the same level it was created. So what does that mean? Well, to me, that means that we have to stop the loop. We have to stop making choices the way we've always made them. War doesn't bring peace. Peace brings peace. And so another war isn't going to change anything. And certainly an undefined war and an ill-defined war isn't going to change anything. It's going to create more of the same. So one of the things we have to look at are our patterns, because all of us have patterns. We have it historically. We have it as a nation. We have patterns individually in our lives. You know, I don't think there's anybody listening who can't look back at their life and see certain patterns reoccurring. They may be problematic patterns or they may be good patterns. I don't know. But for sure, as long as you keep making the same choices around similar issues, you're going to wind up with the same conclusion. You know, the definition of insanity is choosing the same thing and expecting a different outcome. That's the true definition of insanity. When we behave the same way over and over again, and yet we're shocked at the outcome, the only thing shocking is that we would be shocked because we're choosing the same thing over and over again. We're guaranteed of the outcome. I have recently written a book called The Lightworker's Handbook, A Spiritual Guide to Eliminating Fear. And I wrote the book for this very reason, for what I'm talking about. It's a simple handbook that has a very simple message. Not an easy message necessarily to live, but a simple message to understand and simple to remember every day. The book addresses what your role is, what my role is in this moment in time that we're living in now. It talks about how to eliminate the fear, how to deal with the change, exactly what your mission and your purpose is. Why are you here now? As opposed to any other point in human history, because your presence here now has a purpose. And until you recognize that and believe that, you are somewhat at the mercy of circumstances outside yourself. So the Lightworker's Handbook reminds you who you are, the value of you, and what you've brought to the picture, what you bring to the moment that can change everything in a more positive direction. It's available on my website. You can also purchase it at Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. A Lightworker's Handbook, a spiritual guide to eliminating fear. And the thing I love most about the book is in the back, there's what I call the English to Spirit Dictionary. And there is a lot of language in the back of the book defined for people who are struggling with this transition we're going through. Language, as I said, words are so important. There's a new way to use some very common words that we use every day. There's a spiritual way to use them. There's a spiritual way to define them. And those definitions are in the back of the book under the English to Spirit Dictionary. I think it will be very helpful to anyone who's wanting to transition and move forward out of a world where there's a lot of stress and a lot of negativity, and to see everything in a more positive light, because who among us couldn't use a little more positivity in their day, which is why we're here at an Hour of Gold every Tuesday, 10 to 11 a.m. We're here to help you have a positive week, see the news differently, begin to walk away from those stories that don't nourish and support your highest good, where you want to take yourself, your friends, your family, the kind of world you want to live in. And the tools that you need to get there are what the focus is here at an Hour of Gold. You're always free to call in at 856-227-1360. You can share personal stories. We can discuss local events, global, national, whatever you're comfortable with. And I always add universal because there's a little mystic in me. We can talk about anything you want to talk about, literally, because whatever you want to talk about matters to me. Why? Because there's only one of us. You're just another aspect of me. And so if it's important in your life, it's important in my life. And I encourage you to call in and share with me and with all my listeners the challenges you're facing every day in your life. Because guess what? There's a whole lot of people out there facing exactly what you are. The most important message I can leave you with for the rest of the week is you're not alone. You only are if you think you are. If you see yourself as separate from everything and everyone else, you're alone. But it's an illusion. You're not alone. We're all in this together. And we're going to get through it together, because in the end, the light, which is what I believe in most, more than anything else, when you shine the light, darkness can't exist. You know, if you bring darkness into a room where there's light, nothing happens. Nothing changes. Darkness doesn't obliterate the light. But if you bring a little teeny light into a completely dark room, it lights up the room, because light works one way. It can't be obliterated. It can only shine. You're the light. I'm the light. We have to bring the light by thinking, speaking, and acting consistent with the best that you're capable of, your higher self. So I'm delighted to have shared today with you here at An Hour of Gold on 1360 WNJC here in New Jersey. On the web at carolwithanegold.com. I look forward to seeing you again next Tuesday, same time, same place. There's only one of us.
You wouldn't believe where I've been. The city's in